that foundation of the why really gives us the motivation to grind at night after we put our daughters to bed. And so it was my husband and I sitting down and looking at like where we wanted our lives to be in 5 years.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
She was drawn to multifamily syndications due to the many similarities to her career in nursing. The ability to problem solve and effectively communicate brings her so much fulfillment. At Willow Investment Group, she strives to do business with the highest level of real estate professionals. They seek out investment opportunities that provide the most optimal returns for their investors. Savannah, welcome to the show.
Hi. Yeah, thank you. I'm super stoked to be here.
The pleasure's all mine. I know you got a busy day ahead of you. It's what, 7 o'clock there for you this morning?
Yep, sure is.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks for taking time out of your busy day to chat with us. The same questions I ask everybody who comes on the show. Can you briefly tell us, where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
Yeah, definitely. So I grew up in Northern California, up in Sacramento. And from a pretty young age, I knew I wanted to go into nursing. So really right out of high school, I went into college. I went to Sacramento State University and I got my bachelor's degree in nursing and worked in a couple different specialties and worked at a couple different hospitals. And I was just naturally drawn towards leadership roles, I was taking on different process improvement projects at hospitals I was working at. And so really shortly after I went back to school and I got my master's degree in nursing leadership and administration. And since then I've served in a couple of different administrative roles. I've since transitioned down to Los Angeles, California. And right now I'm overseeing multiple departments at a hospital here in LA. And I got started real estate investing the beginning of 2020. I was on maternity leave with my second daughter and really just facing the impending doom of having to go back to work because I needed that paycheck. And my husband and I just kind of sat down and started looking at kind of goals for our family and what we wanted to do in the future and kind of what time freedom and flexibility we wanted to raise our daughters. And our current work schedules really didn't allow that. We were working Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:35. And we just wanted to be more available for our daughters. And so we were looking into different ways to start investing our money to start creating kind of multiple streams of income to offset our W-2 jobs. And really at that point, when we had started our careers, we were putting 15 to 20% of every paycheck towards our retirement accounts. Mm-hmm. And we were congratulated for this. It was like a big deal. We were on the right track, but it just felt so discouraging for us to not be able to touch that money until we were 65. Right. And we felt like we didn't have a lot of control over our financial future. And so really kind of decreased that, started investing in real estate, learned all about it, started in single family homes, have since switched into multifamily syndications. And that's currently what we're doing right now.
Wow. That's awesome. Okay. So beginning of 2020, I mean, that's a fast journey for a lot of people. It takes those of us like myself about 7 or 8 years to figure that out, to go, wait, single family maybe isn't the place where I want to be, and then transition into larger assets. So what did you do? You said you started investing in real estate. Like, did you do that with other people? Were you buying single family homes, or what did that process look like?
Yeah. So it was two single family homes, two new builds. And it was really, so we were looking to do the BRRRR method, which a lot of people know about, right? You're buying a property really below market value. You're renovating it, really pushing all that equity into the property through your renovations, right, renting it out, putting a tenant in there to start collecting monthly rent, refinancing it with the goal of essentially pulling out all that capital you invested into it and then repeating it. So that's kind of a good way to snowball your portfolio. And we were like, all right, cool. We have a fixed amount of it capital to get started. This is a way we're going to kind of snowball our portfolio. And we live in Los Angeles, California. So we were looking to buy these deals across the country in Atlanta, Georgia. And as we were looking through it and kind of talking to brokers, we just realized that was way out of our risk tolerance. It was, we didn't want to get started investing in real estate and overseeing a complete renovation with all of our capital tied into it across the country. And not knocking the BRRRR strategy, it works for so many people. A lot of people make it work, but for us, that was kind of out of our comfort level. And so we decided to buy new build townhomes, but then after we bought those new build townhomes, we're like, all right, what next? Like, how can we keep growing? And binging all the podcasts I could and reading books books, like listening to other people saying they wish they would have started scaling sooner with multifamily. We just dove right into that, signed up for a coaching program to learn about multifamily real estate and really switched gears, and then did 3 syndication deals within 6 months.
Wow. So you guys, so you joined a coaching program. And so were you active, an active co-GP on those syndication deals, or did you go in as a limited partner?
We were sole GPs on them.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah, my husband and I.
That's fantastic. Tell us about those deals. Tell us how you found them. Tell us what the process was for getting those across the finish line.
Yeah, definitely. So that first one's the hardest, right? And at that point, we had already put all our capital into these new build townhomes. So we're like, okay, great. Where are we going to get the money to get started? Because although the syndication route allows you to pool together resources from other people, you do have to have an amount of capital to get started on the earnest money deposit when you're putting offers, doing the due diligence and inspection. Yeah, some people can raise that from other people, but we wanted to put up the risk capital as the operators in these deals. So trying to get over the hurdle of not having any money to get started. We ended up, this was during 2020. So we were able to pull from our retirement account under the CARES Act, penalty free. You are paying taxes over it, but it's a 3-year period. So it was a huge, huge opportunity that we jumped on right away. So we were able to get some money from our retirement account to get started. So we went through that coaching program. And for us, like, we were talking about real estate at this point. We were obsessed with it. So we had generated some interest from friends and family who were interested in what we were doing and wanting to potentially put up capital in one of these syndication deals. And so we signed up for the coaching program because for us, although it is very similar to single family, there's a lot more legalities. And because you're raising hundreds of thousands of dollars, we wanted to make sure we were doing everything the right way. So we wanted a coach with 20 plus years experience, overlooking our shoulder, making sure all our underwriting was good, that we weren't missing anything, that nothing super unexpected was going to come up and we were going to lose our investors' money. So that was the big motivation behind it. Investing in a coaching program. We didn't need the accountability piece. I think that's another reason some people invest in a coaching program is they want someone to kind of hold them accountable. My husband and I are action takers. Like, we were grinding for it. So we didn't need that. It was more the kind of the assurance of our underwriting. And so signing up for that program, we started really learning all about multifamily syndications, our foundation, learning about it first, and then rolling through it. So my husband and I went through that first deal side by side together. We were on all the phones with brokers together, the coaches, the lenders, our legal team. We were doing investor calls together. We were taking every step of that first deal side by side together to learn that whole process. And then after we did that first deal, that it was a 12 unit, $1 million up in Oregon where we have boots on the ground. My parents live up there. So, and I can dive way deeper into that deal if you want, but that was kind of that first deal. And then really shortly after we closed on that, because our broker now saw that we were able to take that deal to the finish line, he started sending us more good deals. And so we ended up doing the second syndication and third syndication with that same broker. Went from 12 unit, 24 unit, and then 18 unit. And then after that, we really took kind of a pause to stabilize our assets because they're all really strong value add and kind of to build up our systems.
Right, right. That's really cool. So the first one you guys did with only your own cash, or did you bring investors in on that once you had it secured? I know you said you didn't want to have your investors put up, you know, risk capital, but.
Right. So we did the risk capital. So we put 50K into that deal, actually more than that. I think close to 100. We ended up pulling from their retirement accounts, and that was risk capital. And we were going with a local credit union. So they wanted 51% ownership to sign on the loan. So there was kind of some things that we had to do in terms of navigating the lender negotiations. But so we did put capital in that, and then we raised about $200,000 for that first deal. So throughout the course of all 3 deals, we just tipped the point of raising over $1 million.
That's cool. Good for you. I mean, that's rapid growth. And especially when you, one, have a newborn, two, also have another daughter at home. So you got kids to raise, you're running, you know, departments at a hospital, and you're mastering syndications. That's a lot of moving pieces all at once. What have been some of the keys that have helped you stay organized?
Yeah. So a really strong why. That foundation of the why really gives us the motivation to grind at night after we put our daughters to bed. And so it was my husband and I sitting down and looking at like where we wanted our lives to be in 5 years, like the really imaginative exercise of like, hey, in 5 years from now, where are we waking up? What are we doing on a day-to-day? What projects are we working on? How much money are we bringing in every month? And then we kind of backtrack from there. Okay, if that's where we want to be at 5 years, this is what we need to be doing at 3 years to make that happen. This is what we need to be doing at 1 year. And it kind of lays out the blueprint of like, okay, you need to have this many deals done by then, or like you need to be submitting this many offers to brokers and raising this amount of money. And so that was kind of like our foundation of the why. And so that's what motivates us after a long, busy day, putting our daughters to bed, to really grind out some of this real estate stuff. But I mean, a lot of other systems that we put in place, I mean, that I never used before I started the real estate business was, I mean, a Calendly link, Google calendars. I have spreadsheets for like my podcast tour thing that I'm going on, different, like when we're working on a project and we're working on a syndication deal, we have on a whiteboard, like all the to-dos that we need to do. And we split it up, like an L is next to it for my husband's name, Lupe, an S for me. And so like when you get a deal under contract, there's like immediately 20 things that you kind of need to do: the inspection, financing, raising capital, do the investor presentation, find insurance quotes, finalize the underwriting. So we'll list all that out on a whiteboard and put an L or an S next to it, so we know who's working on what. And then we kind of come together on a regular basis, maybe not every day, but just at least touch base of like, hey, where are you at with this? Or like, do you need help with that? You know, because my husband's underwriting all the deals, I then prepare that into an investor presentation, and I'm doing a lot of the investor relations type pieces. So we're able to kind of split up the business systematically and still kind of work on it together. But signing up for an investor portal, that's something that we've done recently that has been huge. Just being able to have all of our documents and communication efforts in one piece. I have a CRM. I use ActiveCampaign. That's super helpful. So a lot of different like technologies and apps has been really helpful in terms of building up the systems.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And maybe you're inclined to this. You know, one of the things that I have found is that you've learning those systems even takes time.
Oh yes.
So if you don't know and if you don't know ActiveCampaign very well, like, you know, it just takes that. There's a steep learning curve to that, you know. So it's tough, I think, on the front end to build those systems, because it's like, gosh, I could just as easily plug all these email addresses in Gmail or in Google Suite or whatever you're using and send out this email 5 times faster than figuring out ActiveCampaign. But once yes. you've done it, you're like, oh wait, no, this makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, it's putting in that work on the front end. What's it been like raising capital outside of friends and family, being so new to the space?
Yeah, that was a huge hurdle for us, for sure. So after we did that first deal and we kind of exhausted all of our friends and family resources, we were like, all right, so how are we going to get capital for our next deals? And we were thinking of like strategically partnering with other capital raisers. And we were kind of starting to have those conversations with people. And then as we were having the conversations, we found out, regardless, we're going to have to build a brand. We're going to have to build some sort of brand for ourselves as the operators of these deals. And I mean, originally we didn't want to do the capital raising because we didn't want to be like the face of the business out there pushing what we're doing. Like we didn't really want to go down that marketing route. And then, I mean, now like a year later, the net worth nurse, I feel like cringingly everywhere. And so we really kind of shifted gears in terms of like realizing, okay, this is what it takes to build a business. You have to build a brand. You have to have social media presidents. So then I just started learning all about that. Like Gary Vee's book, Crushing It, tons of marketing branding tips. Love, love that book. So we started, and I noticed when we started raising money or talking to people at my work or other people, they were having the same questions, like how do the returns work? How does the syndication work? How do I get my money? And I was constantly referring them to other people's content. I was like, hey, check out this blog by so-and-so, look at this YouTube video. And I was like, oh my goodness, like I need to create my own educational resources. And so that was like the launch of the Net Worth Nurse allowed me now to have this foundation of now I have my blogs there, my YouTube videos, I have resources for people wanting to learn about syndications. And that has been so, so pivotal in capital raising to have that platform, branding platform. I have all my social media accounts under it. And so raising capital is a piece of gaining trust with people. That's the biggest hurdle of getting people to hand over their money to you. Right. So for me, I wanted to do this in the most genuine way possible. And so that's when I was like, okay, I'm a nurse. Other healthcare professionals, I felt like that was kind of an untapped niche. Although there are other doctors and stuff doing exactly what I'm doing, just differently. We're different people. Sure. And so I felt like that was the best way for me to go about raising capital in a very genuine way. And so now I'm able to go through the Net Worth Nurse and I post a bunch of stuff about real estate, but I also post kind of like what I do at the hospital, especially as an administrator overseeing operations for a hospital. And then obviously some pictures of my kids and family stuff so that people really get an inside look into like who my husband and I are as operators and just as people. And then that's like the biggest piece is that trust.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think you hit that on the head is the genuine side that if you can present that in a way that, I mean, I don't know, I'll stick my foot in my mouth here, but you don't want to be all personal, but yet at the same time, you want to give enough to let people know that, hey, I'm a real person doing real things.
Yes.
And I'm not just a random brand that's, oh yeah, hey, look at this, you know, sterile multifamily syndication that we're putting out. So it's an interesting balance there.
Yeah.
It is very, very, I think important that you do that, you know, that you share both sides of that. So that's super cool. What are some things you would recommend maybe to somebody else? And maybe you've already given all the kind of steps that somebody else should take, but let me ask that a different way. Is there something you would do differently that maybe would speed up the process or, you know, that you wish you'd started on sooner in, I guess this is what, your 20-month journey?
Yeah. So I think connecting with people. So because my husband and I were going out and then, I mean, down the single family route, you don't need to have like a lot of connections and resources or like a community. So we never really like built that. And then as we were becoming like the sole operators on our deals, we were working together. But then as we've gotten into the multifamily world, we started joining meetups and masterminds and communities, Facebook groups. And since especially I've started doing podcasts and like connecting with other hosts who are big players in the multifamily world, like those relationships have become so, so valuable to our business, especially in terms of growth. Like you can get to where you want to go on your own, you know, you can get there. But when you start adding other people and partnering with people who have like-minded visions with yourself or people who want to go where you're going, you get there so much faster. And creating those communities of people. So like for me, like the meetups, and there's free meetups that you can join. There's free masterminds that you can join literally every day of the week. If you don't know where they're at, go on social media, go on your phone, go on Instagram, hashtag like multifamily meetup or whatever kind of meetup you want to go to. And you go to meetup.com. I have a meetup on meetup.com. So there's a lot of places where you can find kind of that community of people. And then that's how you start building relationships. I'm a part of different Slack channels. And then even now, like telling people what you're doing and what you're about and where you want to go. So even that's attracted like other nurses to me who now I'm building a couple courses with some nurses who are just like-minded and want to be kind of doing the same thing as I want to do. And not necessarily real estate based, but just like financial literacy for nurses is like a huge need out there right now. And so we're working on building some of that. And so it's just like so amazing to partner with other people like that, because then it offsets some of the work and you realize you don't have to go where you're going all by yourself and carry that huge load. So the relationship piece and building that community is so huge.
Right. Yeah. You said it. You absolutely said it. I think that's brilliant. I think it's also brilliant how you are incorporating this around your nursing background. I think that's fantastic. You're right. Cause I'm gonna use underserved is probably not the right word, but it's not a market that gets, you really have to know people in, you have to know nurses, you have to know doctors in order to reach that network. Mm-hmm. And so it's cool for you that you're doing that, because I bet a lot of these thoughts of, hey, generating passive income, investing in real estate, probably is kind of a brand new thought to a lot of the people that you're working around.
Yes.
Because it's like, hey, wait, you know, you've been trained to go to work and to get paid well for doing it. And that's how you make a living. And that's, you know, but you get to teach them a different way of doing things. So that I think is absolutely fantastic. Is there anything else before we jump here into the final four questions that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I think just if you're wanting to get started in the space and not really knowing where to go or who to connect with, I think one of my biggest tips and something I learned is kind of reach out to people who are doing what you want to be doing. So like if you're on Instagram or something like that, and you see people like flipping or doing Airbnbs or doing land or storage units, and they appeal to you, and like the content they're putting out is, it really speaks to you. Like I'd reach out to them, like, you know, see if you can kind of connect with them, set up a call, see if you can add value to them anyway, really just kind of brainstorm with them. Like the real estate community is so entrepreneurship mindset. That's really encouraging, positive, uplifting people. And the amount of resources that are out there, if you're not knowing how to get started, is huge.
Right. And that's one of the things I think early on that attracted me to it. It's amazing. Like I've been in several different industries, and there's certainly competition in this space. Yeah. No doubt. No doubt there's competition, but it's one of the few industries I think you can get into where almost everyone is willing to give you a helping hand and say, hey, let me show you what I did. You know, yes. this is the path, you know, go just follow my footsteps and you too can achieve success. So I think that's really, really one of the cool things about real estate. So good for you. I've certainly enjoyed this. Let's jump into the final four questions. Here's the first one. If I gave you just $20,000 to invest in real estate with no previous real estate investing experience, what would you do with it and why?
Ooh, me, I would say the coaching program. That was big. And that was really our first investment. And that was like a 30K thing. So pretty close on the numbers, but yes, education will get you further than any deal starting off.
Right. 100%. And that 30 grand that you spent, which is a large chunk of money. Yeah, absolutely. A large chunk of money, but those are the monies that you can, or the money that you can spend. I mean, that I'm sure you probably saved at least one misstep that would have cost you more than that.
Yeah.
Were that person not, you know, behind you saying, hey, don't do that.
Yes.
So that's brilliant. Number two is this. If you could help our listeners avoid just one mistake in real estate, what would it be? And how would you avoid it?
Partnering with the wrong people out of desperation. I think early on when you're getting started and you're not, and you're trying to find your feet, it's, you just kind of start partnering, I guess, with people, maybe out of desperation, right? I mean, like initially we used one of a contractor because we couldn't find anyone and we want to get the work done faster. And it ended up kind of blowing up in our face in terms of just like the ability of what he was able to do and his due diligence on the actual project. And it ended up not losing us money because we went with him because we wanted to get the work done faster. So I would take that in consideration when you're trying to get work done.
Yeah, absolutely. Been there. No fun. No. Question number three is this. When it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing to make the world a better place?
Educating nurses. I'm so passionate about that. And I mean, like you said, untapped. It's just, you'd be shocked at the amount of nurses I talk to about investing who literally are in their like 50s, 60s, are not investing in anything besides their like 401ks. And it's just so disheartening to hear that. And so for me and kind of some of the guys I'm working with, we're just really passionate about educating nurses and other healthcare professionals on other investment strategies and ways to build wealth.
Right. That's cool. Very, very cool. Savannah, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
The Net Worth Nurse, super easy for all you guys. So The Net Worth Nurse on all social media handles, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and LinkedIn. My website is thenetworthnurse.com. I love connecting with other people. If you're remotely interested in anything I've been saying, please reach out. I would love to connect.
Awesome. Savannah, thank you so much for your time. Do appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.